Good morning. Today we are studying Hebrews part one, and today's lesson is lesson number nine. And our lesson today is on Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need you to lead us and direct us as we study your word through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we want to know you more. We want to know your Son, Jesus, more. And as we have already studied, we know that this book that was written is about Jesus, about your Son. And Father, we want to be conformed, to be like him, and to please you. And we ask you now today to give us understanding, give us wisdom to know Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we want to give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this study is about Jesus and Moses and Israel. So, we want to kind of reflect back on some of what we've studied already. We want to remember who the recipients, who the writer of this letter was writing to. And we learned earlier that they were Jewish believers who were being persecuted to a degree and maybe facing persecution to a greater degree. So they knew of others that had been persecuted as they were being. And it was against their faith in Jesus Christ. And perhaps it may have been from unbelieving Jews that was causing the persecution. Now, Hebrews was written a few years, maybe only one, before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And we know the temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. And the Jews, especially those in Jerusalem, rebelled against Romans. And that caused them to come against Jerusalem and the temple. And so there was unrest among the Jews during about 40 years between Jesus' resurrection and AD 70. Now, there's a great lesson in Acts 7, chapter 7, verses 1 through 53, and time doesn't permit us to read that, but basically, we see in Acts that this was Stephen addressing those that were beginning to stone him. And we know that they stoned him to death in Jerusalem because he presented the truth of his faith from the Old Testament and confronted their unbelief, these unbelieving Jews. Now, what is the purpose statement in Hebrews? What is Hebrews about? And why did the author write to these recipients? In Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 22, he said, "But I urge you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. So he called them to listen to his word of exhortation, a word of encouragement. So this entire book is filled with exhortation about Jesus, their high priest. But it's also filled with warning about missing true salvation. So we know that the believers, all believers, face persecution, and all believers that are going through persecution need exhortation. They all need, we today as believers need to be encouraged to focus on Jesus rather than on our circumstance. And they needed to be encouraged to persevere in their faith. Now looking at chapters 1 and 2, we have learned in these chapters that both chapters compared Jesus, the Son of God, with the angels, which the Jews at that time held in high esteem. And God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, through angels, as mediators, but he spoke in these last days in his Son, Jesus, who is God himself. And so the author of the writer of Hebrews called the recipients to listen to the word spoken in the Son, or they would neglect their salvation. And this is judgment for disobedience. Now looking at chapters 3 and 4, we're kind of going to take this study in the segments that the way that it, Hebrews was written. And we know that it was in different segments. So chapters 1 and 2 was the first segment. And then in chapters 3 and 4, we learned that these chapters was a comparison of Jesus with Moses and the recipients with Israel and of Moses' time. And these chapters are about entering his rest, about entering the rest of God. And so the author calls the recipients to hold fast until the end. And some of the repeated words that we saw in these chapters were, hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, faith and unbelief, disobedience, confidence or assurance. So what then would be the train of thought for these two chapters? In other words, what are the main points? Okay, so you can go back to what we studied in lesson 1, in that lesson, and I'm going to point out these main thoughts, the main points. First, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And next, he said he was faithful as Moses was faithful. And third, we are his house if we hold fast until the end. Therefore, fourth, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as they did. Because of unbelief or disobedience, they did not enter the rest. They died. And then six, he said, therefore, let us fear any one of you that comes short of entering his rest. Good news preached, listen, unite with faith, and enter his rest. And then In these next verses, we see that he points out, he's saying, therefore, be diligent, strive to enter that rest. Therefore, since let us hold fast, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness and our temptations. And again, he says, therefore, draw near and find grace to help in time of need. And the warnings that he spoke, as in chapters 1 and 2, he also said, God spoke in his Son and listen to him. And if you don't listen to him, you're going to miss salvation and you're going to face judgment or the penalty. So he also said, if you hear the Son's voice, don't harden your hearts with unbelief as Israel did. They died in the wilderness because of their disobedience, and they faced God's wrath, his anger. Now, going back, looking at the chart on lesson day 2 and 3, it was comparing Moses and Jesus. So, what is that comparison then in Hebrews chapter 3? They were both faithful to God who appointed them over his house. And who built the house? God built the house. But Jesus has more glory than Moses, whom most Jews considered as an ultimate example. Moses was a faithful servant in God's house. Jesus is the faithful son over his house. Now, in the book of Acts, we learn about Moses, how that he is a faithful servant. I'm not going to read, but you'll find this if you'll mark this down in the book of Acts 7, chapter 7. We learn that Moses was born in Egypt. He was educated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, a prince. He lived in Egypt till he was 40 years old. And then he knew that he was a Hebrew and that God would deliver his people from Egypt through him. But his people rejected him as their ruler and judge at that time. But after Moses, God sent him out. There's part of the story we see that I'm not going to repeat all of it. You have to go back and read. But after spending 40 years in Midian in the desert, the Lord appeared to Moses and he sent him back to Egypt to deliver his people. And he led them out of Egypt, doing wonders and signs for 40 more years, even in the wilderness. And then Moses was obedient to what the Lord called him, and he delivered his people from Egypt. But he was also faithful to lead them in the wilderness for 40 years, even though they were disobedient and unfaithful. And the men that Stephen spoke to could see the results of Moses' faithfulness. And God gave him the pattern for the tabernacle. God gave the pattern for the tabernacle to Moses. And then Solomon, of course, is the one that built the tabernacle. And the people trusted in the temple and the sacrifices, but they were not trusting in God, who spoke in his son Jesus. They were like the fathers who were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their heart. They hardened their hearts by unbelief, by disobedience. Now, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 use unbelief and disobedience synonymously. And Moses told the people that God would raise up for them a prophet like him, a deliverer. And Stephen also told those Jews listening to him that the one God raised up like Moses was Jesus, whom they had murdered. Now, let's look at Exodus. I want to read these verses. I'll go there. If you want to turn in your Bibles, Exodus 17, 1 through 7. And I'll read this, and it tells us back in the Old Testament of Moses and the people of Israel. Starting with verse 1. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So here we see is what happened in the Old Testament. Now we want to look at Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 through 13. And I'll read these quickly, and you can mark this down, or if you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 21. Through 13. This is another incident of the people of Israel, God's people, quarreling or contending with Moses about water in the wilderness of Zin. Starting with verse 1, "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and the people, saying, 'If only we had died with our brethren, when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.' So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water, and thus you shall bring water to them out of the rock.' and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of the rock?" And then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and a congregation of the animals drank. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall bring this assembly. You shall not bring this assembly. You shall not bring them into the land which I have given them." And this was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. They knew that God brought the water out of the rock for them to drink, yet they quarreled with him, and they didn't believe that he would do it again. So even though that Moses was a faithful servant, he lost his temper, and he struck the rock instead of speaking to it as the Lord told him. And because of that, he, Moses, was not allowed to bring Israel into the land of promise. We know that Moses died and Joshua became the leader, and that is in Acts 7:45 and Hebrews 4:8. So what do we see in comparison of these incidents and the circumstances of the people, the Hebrews, that was written for them? It was a hard time for them. It was trying circumstance. And Israel did not believe God. They disobeyed more than on these circumstances. So the author wrote to the recipients of Hebrews so that they would not be like the fathers who did not believe. He wrote this letter to exhort them to hold fast until the end. Now we learn in Hebrews 6 that this was a quotation that the Hebrew author used from Psalm 95. And it's in both chapters 3 and 4 of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:6. Let me read that right quick. Hebrews 3:6. "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." Now it says, if we hold fast till the end. Now let's look at verse 14. "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance until the end." It says in this verse that we as partakers, sharers with Christ, if we hold fast to the end. Now in Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, it's quoted between this exhortation. I want to read those verses. Let me turn there right quick. From Psalm 95, and I'm almost there, verses 7 through 11. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the days of trial. In the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with their generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So here we see the writer is using quotation from the book of Psalms, exhorting them to hold fast, because the Lord is great and a king above all. Then the psalm speaks of him as creator, maker, and shepherd. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 10. Now, in 7 through 11, the psalm turns back to a warning. And he says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as at Meribah and Massah, when your fathers tested or tried me, and they erred in their hearts by not believing God. So we see the warning is quoted 3 times in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And Hebrews 3:12 describes it as an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And let me read Hebrews 3:12 right quick here. Take care, brethren, that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So, again he says, hear his voice and hear the word of God. He said, 3 times, if you hear his voice, his word, don't harden your hearts toward what he says. And then again he says, his word pierces to the soul and spirit. And again he says, it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, therefore, now let us, all believers, including those Hebrew believers that he was writing to, as well as us today, let us hold fast and let us draw near to find grace to help in time of need. So this exhortation is speaking to us today as well as it spoke to the writers, Hebrew Jews that he was writing to when he wrote this epistle. So, we want to look at every word that we have read and studied so far in these chapters to see how that we too need the exhortation. We too, as believers, need to be encouraged day after day by the Word of God. And that's how that they were encouraged. They were encouraged by the Word. The writer was giving them the Word that he had heard from those that had heard the Word directly from Jesus himself. So, we need to meditate and think on all of what we have studied and apply it to our lives, that God may use us to serve Him, and that we may be exhorted, and that we may be changed day by day to be more like Jesus. Let us close this study, chapter 9, and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word, that you speak to us in your word. And I'm so thankful, Father, we all are, that you spoke it, that you wrote it, that you inspired these writers to pen it down, that we may have it today. Because we know that having been born again, having received salvation, that we have the Holy Spirit living within us that teaches us and guides us and directs us. And we know that through your word and through prayer that we can communicate directly with you. We don't have to go through a high priest as in the Old Testament days they went before the high priest. We have Jesus, our high priest. And we go directly to the throne of God through Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.